Aren't you so glad that when we can trust in the Lord that anything can happen? We know and we believe, and as I prayed earlier even about how when we pray God's will, we're praying His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And yet, I said a couple weeks ago that line about, don't you love it when a plan comes together? And it's so neat that when we were praying earlier, I didn't even know the songs Mary had chosen for the day. And yet, God had already been stirring something inside of me with that prayer, and He stirred something inside of Mary with the song selection. And you need to know, if you don't know, that we believe His kingdom in heaven is coming here to earth, and it's come here to earth through Jesus when He died on the cross, which brought healing, it brought victory, it brought the promises of Scripture to us today. It's not just meant for Bible times, we're living in Bible times. So bow your heads with me, and if you're struggling with sickness or illness or disease or doubt or whatever it might be, we're gonna pray right now together. And as we pray, if you're struggling with one of those things, hey, just put your hand up and just receive from God. And if you're too scared to put your hand up like that, put your hand down here. Hold the baby. As Tim Hawkins would say, let's pray. God, we trust You. Father, we honor You. God, we give You all praise and all glory. And Father, as Your word says, when Jesus said the Lord's Prayer and how we should pray on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, right now we come before You. And Father, if somebody has their hand up for healing, or whether they have their hand up for a need, a physical, financial, spiritual, emotional need, Father, right now we give that to You, Father, and we declare victory in Jesus' name. Father, we declare Jesus' name, victory, holy healing, wholeness, fullness, blessings, just your abundance to pour out in each and every person that hand is up or out or is asking to receive. God, we pray that You would just touch these people in Jesus' name. Give them wholeness, give them blessings. Father, give them boldness. Father, we pray right now for these hands. You see them, God, wherever they might be, Father. We pray that your Spirit would pour out on them, Father. Your Holy Spirit would just touch them wherever they are. And Father, that we would believe with them for wholeness. We would believe with them for promises and blessings that are in Your word. Father, we trust You and we honor You. And God, I pray that You would just continue to stir us this service this morning at Sunday church, that our perception would be changed and our perception would become about You. Father, we love You and we honor You. God, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, music team. So we're back at Sunday church. I love Sunday church. And I love this series, because I really feel that it continues on from our The Ultimate Warrior series. And I think that I really feel that this just kind of ties together so well. And I pray that you've been encouraged the past couple weeks. I pray that last week you were encouraged as we talked about being a leader. And this week, we're going to continue our series of Change Your World. And it's basically a study of Nehemiah. But it's an empowerment of you to change your world for Jesus. So if you missed the previous 2 weeks, don't worry, you can catch up online. It's still on YouTube, it's still on our Facebook page, but I'll quickly catch you up so you don't have to hit pause and miss all my great jokes as they're coming at you live. So I'm gonna give you the Dave's notes this morning, okay? The Dave's notes. The year was 444 BC. The walls of Jerusalem had been down for 140 years. We talked about that last week and the week before. And the people felt hopeless. They were in despair. They were depressed. They didn't think they could ever have the walls of protection again. They felt like their best days were behind them, and they felt like they were embarrassing God. And I shared last week, and I'm going to share it again with you today. Don't think your best days are behind you. Your best days are still to come. They're still coming. Because when we're walking with Jesus, when we're growing with Jesus, we're continually walking in more and more when we're pressing in. It's not like, oh, man, do you remember 2011? That was a good year. Oh, man, it's been downhill since then. That's not how it works with Jesus. That's not how it works. Do you think it works like that, Terry?
No.
No, Gary? Mary?
No,
it doesn't work like that, because he continually calls us into more. And when we walk with Jesus, we walk in abundance. That's a total aside, and I need to get back to my Dave's notes. I'm sorry. So there's this ordinary fella named Nehemiah who was about 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem, where the walls were down and where these people were down and feeling depressed. And Nehemiah was feeling a little stirred. And his brother came to visit Nehemiah, and he's like, hey, bro, what's happening back home with all the fellas? I think that's part Newfoundland, part gangster, but we'll just go with it. And his brother tells him what's going on with the people back home. He tells him the walls are down, the gates have been burned. It's totally devastation, total devastation, Nehemiah. You wouldn't recognize it. If you saw the pictures on Instagram, that's not even how bad it is. They didn't have Instagram back there. Full disclosure on that one. But that's what Nehemiah heard. And he couldn't help but get emotional. He couldn't help but get stirred. And we talked about how embracing your own burden, the very things that breaks your heart on behalf of God, is what we talked about the first week. And then last week, we talked about leaders, and we talked about how leaders do three things. Leaders define the mission clearly, they make plans carefully, and they inspire people passionately. So Nehemiah, he travels over 1,000 miles back to Jerusalem, 1,600 kilometers for those of you millennials. And he surveyed the damage, and he assembled the troops. And after 140 years of hopelessness, Nehemiah brought hope. And he said to the people, we can do it. We can build the wall. We can make Jerusalem great again. And they started, and before long, they made some progress. Now, I'm not saying all the time, but the problem is sometimes when you start making some progress, the enemy thinks that he can show up and turn his head on you. And he has no authority over you, first off. We'll say that. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But sometimes when you start pressing forward, that's when the enemy and the opposition tries to show up. And in this case, the opposition was Sanballat and Tobiah and others who were political opponents. And they said, we don't want the walls to go up. We've got to keep the Jews weak and broken and dependent on us. So the bottom line is, when you move forward, the enemy wants you to stop. He doesn't want you to press on. He doesn't want you to keep going. He wants you to think you're defeated. But the trick of the whole thing is, you're not defeated. You're not defeated. You're not defeated. If you think you're defeated, you're not defeated. You're not. You're victorious. So Nehemiah 4 is where we're gonna go today. And I want to talk to you about how to defeat discouragement. Discouragement is something that creeps up on us from time to time, and when we allow it space, it starts knocking us down and distracting us. We need to step in and shove back on that discouragement. We need to press forward and know that we have victory because of Jesus. When you move forward, that we talked about this during the Ultimate Warrior series. When you move forward in Jesus and we advance, that's an act of war in the enemy's eyes. And he wants to oppose you, and we're not going to let him. Are we? No, we're going to take back that ground, aren't we? That's what we are doing. So the big thought today, if you're taking notes, that we need to understand is we don't face opposition because we're doing something wrong. We face opposition from the enemy because we're doing something right in Jesus' eyes. We're advancing the kingdom of God. And he doesn't like that. The enemy does not like that. And the truth is, if you're not doing anything significant, then why would the spiritual enemy pay any attention to you? We must be doing something significant when the enemy is trying to come against you. The fortunate thing is we've got someone much stronger on our side, amen? So it's when we're doing something right that the enemy opposes us. So today, through our story of Nehemiah, I want to show you two different ways that our spiritual enemy tries to discourage us, and then we'll let the story inspire us through our own discouragement that we might face in time. So the first thing is your enemy will attempt to discourage you from the outside. Oh, I'm so far behind. I'm sorry, people. The enemy is going to try to discourage you from the outside. This is what happens when I don't have Ella with me. She's not smacking me upside the head and saying, Dad, we got to go to the next one. The enemy is going to try to discourage you from the outside. Your spiritual enemy uses external forces to try to discourage you and cause you to quit. And in fact, you can see this very clearly in Nehemiah 4, 1 to 3. Nehemiah was building the wall and the enemy showed up to discourage God's people. And here's what the Bible says. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're going to do? Do they think they can rebuild the wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and a charred ones at that? Tobiah the Amorite, who was standing beside him, remarked, that stone wall would collapse if a fox walked along the top of it. They talked some trash there, didn't they? I don't like trash talk. It makes me angry, actually. But I love how this happened and how Nehemiah handles this. See, you'll often face obstacles. And I don't like the term often, but you will. When the enemy is coming at you, he's going to try to throw things at you, especially if you start getting distracted. You take sometimes two steps forward and suddenly there's some opposition and you feel like you're taking three back. But the truth is you're not. You're not taking three steps back. And you need to know that even though you might feel that way, that Jesus has brought the victory already. It could be that God has spoken to you and you've decided, hey, we're going to get out of debt, or we're no longer going to be living in bondage, or I'm done with sickness. I'm done with feeling in despair. But you think about this debt. We'll use this as an example. And you think, I'm done with debt. I'm getting out of debt. And then, bang, your car breaks down, and it's like a $2,800 repair. And you're like, oh, great. I was going to do this and this or that. Or maybe you decided your family is really going to press in and get to know Jesus on a deeper level. And then maybe something happens within your family because of some decisions that were made or something happened and it stirs up the mud to distract you from the things that Jesus has for you. It's not Jesus doing that. It's the enemy trying to bring this against you. And we have victory in Jesus' name. We don't need to let those little obstacles stop us. That's what I'm trying to remind you here. When you're doing something for God, expect some obstacles because the enemy will attack you. And he's not going to attack you when you're doing something wrong. He's going to attack you when you're doing something right because he doesn't want you pressing forward with Jesus. He doesn't like the fact that you've declared war when you're pressing forward and taking steps in him. Don't let those obstacles stop you or discourage you from what God is doing. Don't let that thing make you think that, oh, it's done. I'm over. Finished. That's not how it is. So the second way you'll face opposition from the outside is with maybe some criticism. And that's what Sanballat and Tobiah did to the Jewish people. Who are you feeble and weak Jews? You're never going to get anything done. If a little fox walked across that wall, it'd fall over. Like, serious. That's some criticism. And maybe you get so excited you're doing something significant on behalf of God. Maybe God is leading you to become a foster parent or, you know, what's that thing online where you give money? World Vision. If you're giving towards feeding the hungry somewhere. Sorry, I drew a blank. And then all of a sudden, you're like, your in-laws show up and they're like, you want to foster a kid? You can barely handle the five you got. That mine don't say that. Mine are great. They're not saying that at all. But I'm just saying, what if they did? Here's what you need to understand. If you want to change the world, if you want to be a world changer and do something significant, if you want to be a leader, criticism is part of leadership. It's part of leadership. It's going to come. And how do you deal with that leadership or handle that criticism? Where do you take it? How do you speak to it? Enduring criticism is part of leadership, and you need to know that. If you're going to do anything significant, you're going to be criticized. And they criticized Nehemiah. And the first thing he did when they criticized him is Nehemiah, he took it to God over and over and over again. And the second thing he did was he got back to work. Anytime people criticize you, you don't have to lead defensively and beg people to be on your side or be on your team. You take it to God, and then you get back to the work that he's called you to do. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. That's how we deal with it. The second type of discouragement you might face is discouragement from the inside. We face it from the outside, but we also sometimes face it from the inside. Your enemy will try to discourage you from the inside. And here you can see in verse 10 the insecurities of the Jewish people coming out. It says, meanwhile, the people of Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. The inside, they're discouraged. They're just like, oh, there's so much to do. We can't do it. And I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. When you're doing something significant, I believe your spiritual enemy will try to discourage you from the outside and from the inside. And we need to start thinking like this. Well, we don't have what are you, we start thinking like this, or we don't have what it takes. We can never get it done. We can't do it. There's so much rubble. There's so much mess. That's discouragement from the inside. They've been down for 140 years. We don't have what it takes. We're not good enough. If you've had thoughts like that, let them go. Let them go. It's not because you're doing something wrong, but it's oftentimes because you're doing something right. And the enemy is coming again, trying to come against you. And you need to know that when you're walking with Jesus, that you already have victory. It's already won, and you can press through. Sometimes stubbornness is my virtue because I press through. I do. Sometimes annoyingly so to my wife. See, the enemy wanted to stop the work of God through God's people there. And oftentimes he wants to stop the work that we're doing here. But be encouraged, because you're not being attacked because you're doing something wrong. You're being attacked because you are representing God in heaven, and you're being attacked because you're doing something right for him. You're going on the offensive for him. And every now and then when you get discouraged or overwhelmed or feel like I can't do it, how do you defeat discouragement? Well, let's look at Nehemiah 4:14. I'll pull it up here. And it says, then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. I'll tell you right now, don't be afraid of the enemy. We're going in victory. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. If Nehemiah were living in New Testament times, he'd say, hey, guys, listen to me. Don't be afraid of them, because greater is he that is in me than them, than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me, Jesus, than he that is in the world, the enemy, Satan. We have victory because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He would have said, don't be afraid, because God is for us, so who can be against us? Nobody, right? He would have said, don't be afraid of them, because who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Can trouble? Nope. Can hardships? No. Can persecution? No. Can famine? No. Can nakedness? No. Can peril nor sword? No. Nothing. We are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength, aren't we? Are we conquerors? So does that mean we're victims? No, it means we're victorious, doesn't it? Does that mean we're losers? No, because we're victorious. We are more than conquerors because we have Christ. We're more than conquerors. We're victorious because of Jesus. And Nehemiah says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fights your battles. And you need to go and you need to fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Right there. He basically says, when you're discouraged, do two things. If you're discouraged and you feel overwhelmed, if you feel incapable or unworthy, you do these two things. The first, remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. Remember him. And that's exactly what Nehemiah says. He says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord your God who is great and awesome. So when the enemy, the sleazy little snake that he is, tries to come at you, do you remember all the problems that he might be trying to bring? Or do you remember the Lord your God who is great and awesome and brought you victory through Jesus on the cross? What do you remember? I hope you remember the Lord your God. See, when he would have said that to the group of Jewish people, what he would have said was a pretty loaded statement. He said, remember when we were in bondage. Remember when your ancestors were slaves. And remember when God raised up us from within them. Moses, remember where Moses? Remember this guy Moses? Remember what he did when he encountered God in the burning bush that wasn't consumed? If you don't know that story, you should read it. Remember when God called him and said, you're going to deliver the people, and he didn't feel capable, and he said, I'm nervous. And God said, who gave man his mouth? And you go, and I'll give you the words to say, Moses. And remember when God raised up one of our own for that, and Moses stood down, Pharaoh, and said, hey, somebody's got to do something, so it's going to be me. Moses finally came to that realization that he needed to do something. And he said, Pharaoh, let him go. Let my people go. And you remember when Pharaoh said no? And our God brought 10 plagues and turned the heart of Pharaoh to release us? Do you remember that, guys? This is what Nehemiah is probably saying in that statement. And remember when we set out and the Egyptians tried chasing after us when they were mad? And remember when we were surrounded by a mountain on one side and a sea on the other? And the enemy on the other, sorry, and the sea opened and God let us pass through, and then God closed the sea up and killed all those guys and let us walk on dry ground? Remember that, guys? I remember when God led us by a pillar, and remember when he fed us with manna from on high? We didn't go without anything. Remember the Lord your God when you're discouraged. That's what he said to them. And you don't have maybe the background that these Jewish folks had. But we know the stories from the Bible. We know the history lessons from the Bible. And we know that when you look at those stories, we know that there's some power in remembering who the Lord your God is. And when we remember who Jesus is and what he did for us, there's power there. Think back and remember how good our God is. How great and awesome our God is. I'm telling you. It's time to start remembering, guys. Start remembering. If you get discouraged, if you get distracted, then think about how good God is. Think of all the times that God showed you favor and God prompted your heart. Whenever you're discouraged, remember the Lord your God. The second thing he said is to fight for your cause. You need to fight for it. Makes me think of that old song, you got to fight for your right to party. But this is you're fighting for your right to build this wall. Fight for your cause, not for yourself, because if you fight for yourself, you're going to give up and surrender. You can't do battle when you're just fighting for yourself, but you need to fight for something more. You think of William Wallace and that, I don't even remember the name of the show because I've never, Braveheart. And he's talking about fighting for their land and for their freedom and for the nation. If they would have fought for themselves, they wouldn't have been as energetic and pumped up. But when they're fighting for others, for their brothers and sisters and wives, and man, you got to get excited for that, don't you? Isn't that a good pump-up speech? Get pumped up. You're fighting for your family. You're fighting for your sons. You're doing this for your brothers, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Get at her, boys and girls. But we need to fight for something beyond us. God will give you spiritual strength you never knew you had. And this is what Nehemiah said. Fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Fight for that. And when everybody else says, hey, hide the family, hide your kids, hide your wife, they're coming. Did you like that little, they're coming. maybe shouldn't have talked so manly on that one. They're coming. Hey, don't hide them. Fight for them. We fight the good fight of faith because Christianity isn't necessarily a playground. It's a battleground that we need to realize that it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers of the dark world. But the awesome thing is we have victory already. It's not a fight from are we going to win? Are we going to lose? It's not like you're watching the Ryder game and you're in the Western final against Winnipeg and you're like, is Cody Fajardo going to cross the line? Are we going to win? Are we going to get to go to the Grey Cup? Or are we going to lose? And he's not going to make it. And is he going to be crying on the 10-yard line like last year? I don't want to bring up painful memories, but you know what I mean. We know we already have victory. We know we're won. We know that the battle is won. We can fight from a position of victory. So when you fight like a man of God, or you fight like a woman of God, and you get down on your knees and you fight like a man or woman in your prayer. And every now and then, you do what Nehemiah had to do with the people. And he said, hey guys, our enemy's going to attack. And we're going to be ready. And we're not going to stop working. So what are you going to do? You're going to grab a tool with one hand. And you're going to grab your sword with the other. And we're going to fight and we're going to work. And we're not going to get distracted. And we're going to press on. And when the enemy attacks, we're going to fight off that enemy. And we're not stopping working. Because that's how important this is. I don't know who you're fighting for. Maybe you're gonna fight for the unborn. Maybe you're gonna fight for the marginalized. Maybe you're gonna fight for what's the right word? Human trafficking. That's the word I'm looking for. I don't know what you're gonna fight for, but you're gonna fight, and you're gonna have to stand up and fight. Maybe you're gonna fight for your own kids because maybe they're not quite walking that path of Jesus that they should be. Or maybe you're like me and you're going to fight for those that don't know Christ yet. Or those that maybe have strayed from Christ. Whatever it is, you need to remember the goodness of God, who is great and awesome. Remember who God is, and you fight for something outside yourself. And the Spirit of God will give you strength in your weakness, and His strength is made perfect. So don't ever give up. Keep pressing forward. Don't let discouragement get in your way. Keep pressing forward. Remember, the Lord, your God, fights for you. Will you pray with me? And I want to encourage you while we're praying here. If you feel like you're facing opposition, and maybe there's obstacles, there's criticism, and you're not sure you're feeling capable at times, or you feel discouraged, just agree with us in this prayer, okay? Bow your heads. God, I pray today for those who are hurting. God, we pray for those whose maybe their marriages are struggling, or whose kids are going the wrong way, or whose finances are out of whack, or who have a real call in their life to minister to people. Father, we pray that those who may be facing physical opposition in their bodies, or opposition with family members or friends, God, we pray that you would give them an enduring spirit, Father, and allow them to see the victory, Father. God, don't allow them to look at around them and look at the negativity, Father, but look to you in positive. Father, let them look to you in victory. God, I pray that they would rise up out of their self and fight for the cause that you have placed on their hearts. Father, whether that be families, whatever it is, God, we pray that they would fight for that cause. And God, that you would encourage them when they're fighting, and let them know that whatever they're fighting for is significant, and that they will be overcoming in victory. And Father, we pray that they would press through and press on. And Father, for those that are wanting to press through and press on, Father, that you would just give them courage and boldness. God, I thank you in advance that we know that you're going to continue to encourage us as a church, as your people here in Rosetown, that you would just allow us to be focused on you. And God, we're thankful that you're going to get the victory, or that you've brought the victory and that you're going to get the glory through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now maybe you haven't met Jesus yet, or maybe you don't know him yet. Maybe you haven't asked him into your heart. Well, I want to give you a chance to do that today. And it's really simple. It's not like it's any, you don't have to do a special dance to join or say a special chant. You just have to repeat a simple prayer after me. So if you feel like Jesus is just stirring your heart, Holy Spirit's just stirring your heart, and you're like, I need to join in here. What's going on? I need to be a part of this. I want to encourage you to just repeat this prayer with me. And if you already know Jesus in your room with others, I'd encourage you to just pray along. Our music team's going to pray along with us. Just repeat after me and repeat with the team. Dear Jesus, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Jesus, thank you for stirring my heart and calling me to you. Jesus, forgive my sins and come into my life and change me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and for loving me through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I invite you to call the church, 306-882-2453. Email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca. Comment on Facebook, comment on YouTube, comment on our live stream on our website. But just comment. We want to connect with you. Call me anytime. You can call me right after this, and I'll be here waiting for your call. And if you accepted Jesus, I want to give you a Bible. We have Bibles here at the church that we want to bless you with, and we just want to give you so you have something to read. And maybe you say, hey, Dave, I didn't accept Jesus, but I want to know more, and I'd like to check out a Bible. Then I encourage you to call me anyway, and I'll get you a Bible. I want to give you a Bible so you have a chance to read about how good Jesus is. I want you to have a chance to read that he will fight for you, and that we need to fight for something here on earth, for a cause here. I want you to read about how he came and died for your sins, and he wants to know you. So I encourage you to contact me. Let's pray, guys, and then we'll get you on your way. Father God, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for each person who joined us today for Sunday church. Father, we pray that you would just touch them. Father, that you would just restore life to them. Father, give them joy and encouragement. And Father, let them know that you brought the victory. Remind them each day that they don't have to wonder, but they can know. So Jesus, we pray that you'll bless us, give us a great week, protect us and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, you have an awesome week, and we will hopefully see some of you for Sunday church here in the church, or if not, we'll see you online. God bless and see you soon.